and I'm talking about people in NASA and NOAA and European Space Agency and so forth, where one of the questions that I eventually get to is, what are your thoughts about ancient texts? Do you use any information that you have studied about our ancestors and what they've passed down to us in your current formulas today? And the answer is yes, and they say so publicly on air. And I find that extremely refreshing. One of my themes that I always have as part of my preamble of every show is that what we do here is bridge the gap between our ancestors, ancient texts, and current science. And it's really more like current science is catching up with our ancestors.
Yeah. And these ancient texts, are they roadmaps for cycles that could affect us, or do they merely tell us what happened to them?
Yes and yes. And yes, I'm glad you brought that up. There's something called the science of cycles, which is something that I study very heavily in. Basically, what the science of cycles is monitoring patterns, looking at patterns and rhythm, rhythmic patterns. And the only way you can do that is, well, of course, through the sciences, you can use ice core samples, mm-hmm. probably the most accurate, lake bottom samples, tree rings, and so forth. And that does give you a pretty good picture geologically, but there's still parts missing, and I turn to what's been passed down in ancient texts, and it gives a very long history of what's going on. So I go by what current science says and in the way we can geologically study certain events, and what our ancestors have said in the way of phenomena that's occurred, especially in areas of migration and how things changed and the ending of certain civilizations and the beginnings, which mostly we can't find through lake bottom samples and so forth. And I put this this collage together, and it really tells quite a fascinating story. I guess the one message I have is that there's nothing that's happening today that the Earth hasn't seen many times before.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually in greater intensity. It's just that there's so many humans now that you know the damage would be certainly more severe and loss of life and so forth. But it is something that the scientists are becoming more open about, which I find extremely refreshing. And hopefully, where all this ends up is that some marriage, if you will, between what we know today of hard science and what our ancestors have told us through petroglyphs, storytelling, which is even mythology. There's always some truth that comes through that. And putting this puzzle together, why? It's important because once we know more of the past, it has a reflection on the present, which tells us of the future. And unfortunately, what the future holds is what's happened before, but nonetheless, it does suggest that there's going to be an escalation in Earth changes in general, which I think has already occurred. I think we're going to see a gradual increase up through 2012, and again, following the bell curve, and then more of a slowing down.
Did you ever think you would be seeing these changes in your own lifetime?
Not before 1995.
Right.
But shortly after, I was certainly open to it. And then once I started learning more about ancient texts, then I thought for sure that, yes, I think this is the time.
Mitch, solar rain, which I've read and I agree with you on this theory, that the sun is doing some very strange things. Right before you came on, I had a story about what some scientists think could be almost a volcano-type action on the sun. What's your take on things like
that? Yeah, I looked into that, and I of course, again, with some connections, I get information right away. I'm finding nothing. I wish I could have a good story for you, but it does not match anything that we'd see if it was a coronal hole, a CME, coronal mass ejection, or a solar flare. It doesn't match any of those. It looks like a burp.
A big one.
A big one. but it certainly wasn't Earth directed, and so there's not going to be any kind of repercussion, or a typical way that we would feel, which is part of what, in a big way, what Solar Rain and my contribution is that we've always known that the sun has an effect on climate, but climate's measured in minimum decades, but usually centuries and even millennia. My equation, and what I published in 1998, and of course in both books, and then have endorsements that I think you've already mentioned,
yeah,
from the heaviest hitters you can find, that really it has an effect on weather. Now, weather's measured in minutes, hours, and days. And my research suggests that what's happening on the sun as we ramp up into solar maximum, which just happens to occur 2011-2012, that there's a 72-hour turnaround from what's happening on the sun and what happens here on Earth in the way of weather phenomena.
Yeah, I had an old biology teacher when I was in high school kept trying to preach to us that things occur in this universe by design. He was a believer in that. And then he would say, you know, if the planet was a little closer to the sun, things wouldn't be the way they are now. If it was farther away, things couldn't be the way they are now. It was perfect for us. So I look at the sun, and I'm looking at the picture on Solar Rain, your book. And boy, that's a heated up sun. What would it take if the sun just made a very minute change in temperature, which would raise ours maybe 2 or 3 degrees, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's huge on the planet? What could happen if that occurred?
Well, first of all, it has in the past, and it will again. There's going to be always be that natural fluctuation. There's going to be warming trends and cooling trends.